testimony from King David and the book of Revelation together for the scripture. If you took King David and plopped him in the book of Revelation, it fit right in there with some of the things that he followed the Lord through and how God helped him in big, big troubles that he had throughout his life. So if you could look at David like that, not only in the, you know, the last part of the first century there, but also in the future, as if he were a believer following the Lord. Somebody's going to be believers following the Lord like that when the time comes, perhaps you and I. So when God tells us our lives are under attack, which they are, and of course the last book of the Bible shows them being under attack in the most difficult way and full of trouble and stress, we can know God shows up in a powerful way in the book of Revelation, just like he did for King David when he was in trouble. And so David's testimony was, God is my rock. God is my salvation. He's my fortress. He's my refuge, place to hide. He's my honor. You think about the different things that occur. Your honor ultimately is not in accomplishments or anything you and I do, abilities, talents, fame and fortune and all that that unbelievers run after and sometimes we do. But rather, our honor is from God. How stable is that? How sure? How gracious that he should give us part of his love. And so David says, my soul finds rest in God alone. And you and I can rest in God because he's our only hiding place. Okay, have a hiding place. There's only one safe place in the universe. That's the Lord. So remember that when trouble comes your way. It does come our way this week. Bigger in the future probably. Your hiding place is God. So when you have fightings without and fears within, pain and trials, pain of growth, great tribulation that will occur in the future, God is your refuge. As an old theologian once wrote or sang, it don't come easy. You know, it don't come easy. I think it was Reverend Starr or someone like that. You'll have to go and make that connection. Do some research, will you? There, that's a stretch. But your soul will find rest in God alone. And King David says this about the Lord. God, you told me two things about you. That you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. Two seemingly opposite qualities or attributes. Lord, you're strong. And Lord, you're loving. And they're perfectly balanced in the Lord. A simple illustration from culture, not to promote it, but to be aware of it, is the Wizard of Oz. Okay, the old-time movie. Not to make any cult collection, so don't go and look for the ruby slippers to have any special ability to get home, you know, when you're in trouble. But rather, when Dorothy, who's the heroine, goes to the Emerald City, okay, and then the guy, he's pretending to be the Wizard of Oz, he puts up the big face on the screen and he's yelling and the smoke is coming and fire is coming and so forth. And he says, I am Oz, the great and powerful. Okay, that's strength. And Dorothy, you know, she's courageous, but she comes and she stands there and she said, her next line is classic. She says, and I am Dorothy, the small and the meek. Okay. And that's you and I. We're the small and the meek compared to God, who's much, much, much bigger and more powerful than anything that Hollywood would come up with. So don't be afraid to see yourself that way. We're the small and the meek. And God, he's the strong and he's the powerful. And he condescends to be loving to us. And God himself defines loving and strong. You know, they're not virtues out there like clouds that God says, I think I'll be strong today or I think I'll be loving. Strength and love come from God himself. That's the way he is. So anytime you've seen any strength whatsoever or any love, you have to say, well, that came from God in some manner. So God is strong and loving on David's behalf. And in Revelation, Jesus is all strong and all loving. And this is something that God reveals to us throughout the book and for John in chapter 5. And in the passage read, history is coming to an end, and all God's people are under their greatest pressure. Chapter 4 or 5 in Revelation are great. They're songs of praise to God. And chapter 5, the Lord has a big scroll in His hand, and He's about to give it to the Lamb of God. And John sees this scroll. Back in that day, everything was written on scrolls, very big and many words on it. I don't know what the parallel today would be, maybe like a blueprint that you have. Some of you all work with blueprints. You unravel the thing, and it's bigger than any table you have, and you think, oh, man, a lot of information here. So here's the scroll, and the Apostle John, who's going to open the scroll? Can anybody on earth open the scroll? Nobody can open a scroll, so he starts to cry. Anybody in heaven open a scroll? How about the angels? Can you guys do this? You're powerful. How about Moses? How about Abraham? How about King David? How about the Apostle Paul? He's dead at this point. Can he open the scroll? Nobody can open the scroll. And God's word says, John looked and he saw the lion from the tribe of Judah. And that means this one who was a lion in his character descended from Judah, one of the descendants of Abraham. And he was from the root of David, so he's descended from King David too. So he's the Messiah. He's the lion. And he comes. He says, I saw the lion. Well, actually, he didn't even see the lion. The Bible says he was told the lion will open that scroll. Someone's going to be in charge of history and what happens next. And it's not going to be people. Okay, it's going to be the Lord. He's the lion that's going to send history to the final chapters and do great things to honor His name. And John, he turns around. He's expecting to see a lion. If somebody said, turn around, there's a lion behind you, I would be... But he turns around and he sees there's a lamb standing there. And the lamb looks like he's been slain. And the lamb, symbolically, seven horns, that's perfect power. Seven eyes, that's perfect wisdom. Sends out seven spirits, that's just the perfect spirit of God going forth. And this one has triumphed, God's word says. And the great thing about the lamb, who looked like he was slain, everybody worships the lamb in heaven. Isn't that great? They praise Jesus just like you and I have been doing in worship and all these singers and everything, which we appreciate so much. And God says this, all power goes to Him, to the Lamb, and honor and might and strength. And He's like a lion and He's like a lamb. He has strength, but He's also merciful and loving. So it's good for us to see Jesus as a lion and a lamb because we know he's exalted in His mercy. We know that, like a He's a lamb, but He's also exalted in His wrath and power like a lion. So that should keep us humble. Now, when we think of the wrath of God and throughout Revelation, usually the wrath comes from the lamb. We shouldn't think, I love the wrath of God because I got these three friends and they're going to hell, so that makes me, I'm just excited about that, you know. God's glory sometimes keeps us silent and says, oh, we intercede. And we say, oh, Lord, show Your mercy. Be a lamb to this one before Your wrath comes. And so to know Jesus as we walk with Him into troubled waters, present and future, the lion for us, the lamb for us. I'm going to use Jonathan Edwards' old sermon 300 years ago to give some samples of this in addition to the Bible here. So in God's providence, here's the book of Revelation. He's called the lion one time. Power of God. He's called the lamb, surprisingly, 29 times. Whew. Now if I was John writing the book of Revelation, I'd probably edit that wrongly, and I'd say, let's call him the lion 15 times, and let's call him the lamb 15 times. How's that? I mean, I like to go, balanced personality over there. Or better yet, let's call him the lion 29 times, And let's call him the Lamb once, because I really hope God goes after the unbelievers, you know. He doesn't do that. Call the lion one time. He's called the Lamb 29 times. Because even when the judgment of God comes, there's something very powerful about the death of Jesus that perhaps would be a shelter and a safety at the last possible minute of history when people need to know, look, there is a Savior, Jesus, God's own Son. He's the precious Lamb of God, Messiah. He's the hope for sinners slain. Even if he's rejected, people will know. A lamb has been given. It's the Lamb of God who would bring salvation. And the wrath, of course, too, would come from him. So, for you and I, Jesus is the Lamb. We can come to him with our sins, and he's the Lion. We can go to him for protection and defense. I like that. Having the Lamb influence us in time of trouble is important. When the Apostle Paul wrote about the second coming in Philippians, he said, the Lord is near, let your gentleness be evident to all. So something about being steady and holding on to God's virtues, His forbearance, His Lamb of God qualities in rough times can really be of help to other people, because that means the gospel can be approached and heard. Okay, he's the Lamb of God. He deals with our sins like that, and he is strength for us in terms of a lion. And I want to use Edwards as a contrast here, just to praise God's name and give our faith anchor in him for the hard times. Okay, here's what he does. He said, he is lion, 100% self-sufficient and powerful. He's lamb, 100% submissive to the Father. What a great way Jesus is. And then he's lion. He's truth, righteousness, and judge. He's the king. Don't mess with the king. He's going to have the last word. He's lamb. His mercy is for us. His peace involves scars that he still has. Okay. Jesus is for us with his great love. He's lion. He holds the universe in the palm of his hand. That's a great one. He's lamb, his eyes on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. So he's as close to you as anybody. More close than yourself. He's lion, mighty God, everlasting Father. He's lamb. Like a child is born, a son is given. You can meet Jesus. He's lion. And these are all the lion qualities Edwards picked. Infinitely holy, hating sin. By no means clearing the guilty. That means we need a Savior. Angels and men bow before Jesus right at this moment in heaven, and many throughout the earth. And he's worshipped by wise men at his birth and worshipped by apostles at his resurrection. A lot of praise to him. He's exalted to the highest place, the Bible tells us. Sometimes don't you get jealous when people are excited about something, or, you know, your team wins the Super Bowl, which we're happy about. Oh, you know, I got to wear my stuff, and I do. But exalted to the highest place. Now, let me reserve my praises, my affection, and my love for Jesus himself, because he's exalted to the highest place. He's mightier than the waves of the ocean, because he could say, be still. He speaks to the mountains, and they melt. Mountains are pretty impressive. Go to the Grand Canyon, you know, you say, that's impressive. More impressive is when God says something. Well, he created the Grand Canyon with the breath of his mouth. He's a lion because he's worshipped by every people from every nation. First time in history, there's people in every nation now praising Christ. Not every people group, but every nation. And God's strong enough to change a hating heart into a loving heart. A heart that hates God to a heart that loves God. Did you ever try to change somebody? It's impossible. Can't be done. People try to change themselves. Doesn't get too far. But God can change a heart. How powerful he is. And then Psalm 89. his lion qualities, more feared than all who surround him in heaven. It's great to think of that, you know, heaven. You've got these powerful angels, you got these great people who follow the Lord. We'll be very thankful to be there. And then you got God, more feared than anything else in heaven, and all of heaven combined. And when you think of God as the lion, do you need his strength in your soul? You know, do you and I know we're powerless without him? And Jesus will share his strength with us as needed. Because we know we're weak. There were weak people in the Bible who God's strength had to be with. Timothy, follower of Jesus. Young and timid. Okay? Some of you are old and timid. That's okay. Some are young and timid. He followed the Lord because God was his strength. Mark, okay? Mark, dropout missionary, naked streaker. Mark, at the resurrection, Mark got so afraid, or not resurrection, at the crucifixion, Mark got so afraid, somebody grabbed his coat, and he kept running, and they got his coat, and Mark goes, you know, in the buff, running away. That hasn't happened to you since you were a little kid. You came out of the bath, you know, at the town, mom grabbed you, and you said, "You're not getting me," and off you go. That's Mark, when he was a man. Okay. He was weak. He needed the strength of a lion. And we have the Apostle Paul. Seemed to have character, but as a speaker, apparently, at least in Corinth, they said, we had this guest speaker come in, you know. Well, how was it? He was weak and unimpressive. Well, who was that? Some guy named the Apostle Paul. He needed God's strength to get anything done through him. This was, and then you have Jeremiah, who had a rough job crying all the time. Okay, if you have that, God will be your strength. I was to connect with the culture. Jeremiah is the John Baynard of the Old Testament. You know John Baynard, who that is? The former Speaker of the House. He cried all the time. You say, why is he crying? I don't know. He was looking at the government. He was crying. That was appropriate. But God can be our strength when we know we're weak on our own. Please say, oh, I need his strength today. I certainly need his strength moving into the last part of history. We're thankful. He says, look at the lion is going to do this. And then Jesus is the loving Lamb of God. Do we need love in our character or what? You know, lost people are looking for loving Christians to see if Jesus really rose from the dead. They're looking around. I wonder if it's true. If it is, there'll be love out there. And love is a great apologetic to add to what we can know. You know, if somebody sees love, they say, I don't know too much about the truth of the resurrection, but I know five loving people and they say something about Jesus. And so I'm connecting the dots. I think it might be, the Lord might be true. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. Edward said this, he's infinite in condescension. He went from the highest heaven to sin-filled world to the cross. Edward said, nobody ever loved us or loved God as much as Jesus did at the cross. Because he said, here, Father, this is a sacrifice. And this is for these dear ones. And Jesus, he's the lowest of anybody in humility. Think of a lamb. You can't pick an animal more lowly than a lamb. He washed the disciples' feet. The sin of the whole world was on him. You know, we get down, burdened down by our own sin. God will bring conviction. But Jesus had the sin of the whole world on his shoulders. You know, no wonder, but people turned away from him. They said, "What? He's a man, sorrowful man." And Jesus was a lamb because he took the nature of a servant. He made himself nothing, God's word says. And in his grace, he was able to round out the people that he impacted as he came into their lives as the Lamb of God. If you're a person of strong character and you have confidence going for you. You want to have it from God, not from yourself. People who were very strong in character learned how to follow the Lamb of God. King David, he was a tough guy. He said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. And I don't care if 10,000 people come against me. That's tough. And yet he knew he needed the Messiah. He needed somebody to come and make his heart clean. He cared about the downtrodden. He cared about the fatherless, the widow, the sick, the poor. The Lamb of God had influenced David. So you might be a tough person, but the Lamb of God could influence you. James, the brother of Jesus, he was a pretty hard-nosed guy. His letter was like that. He said when Jesus was in the house, he's not the Messiah. He's my brother, you know. And when he wrote, he said, well, I'm going to confront the rich. I'm going to confront those with prejudice. And I'm going to say, watch your mouth. He writes a whole chapter about that. But James also said that wisdom from God was peace-loving. Peace-loving. So you had a strong person like James say, it's peace-loving to follow the Lamb of God. And you have the toughest one of all, maybe John the Baptist outside of Jesus. Called people snakes, preached about fire, said God's like an axe, he's going to chop you down. And when he saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's going to be the sacrifice. It's going to save my life. You know, if you're a strong character, I was really moved once when I was hearing a preacher who's probably the toughest, strongest preacher I ever met. So he's preaching away, and then he starts talking about when he was in grade school and high school, he was picked on and bullied to no end. And he just talked about how afraid he was to go to school and how upset he would get and so forth. And I'm looking at him, I'm saying, that can't be, you know, because you're a tiger on the loose. But really, in his weakness, when he leaned on God, he was able to have a ministry that he couldn't have just in his strength. So if you're strong in your abilities and so forth, continue to lean on God. Continue to say, I need him as my Lamb of God. And God will open up so many great doors. And on the other hand, if you're not so strong and not so confident, you know, and you can barely face Monday morning, and all of a sudden, if you walk in God's strength as a gift, that will be a powerful testimony for God. People say, I know that guy. He's, you know, you sneeze and he falls over. What? But then when he starts following God, it's like, oh my, you know, what happened to him or her? Let the strength of God be that way for you. In closing, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, who we are. If we're strict and hard-nosed, lean on the Lamb of God and follow Him. If we're weak and lowly, lean on the Lion, because He's your honor and refuge. And then come to Him for salvation, for forgiveness, for daily strength. He's all your soul needs. Find rest in God alone. And let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your Bible, a lot of great things you tell us about yourself. You are strong and loving, lion and lamb. Lord, thank you for the song we were singing the beginning, that what Jesus did reaches to the highest mountain, the lowest valley. So wherever we're at in following you, we're facing some kind of trouble. We would say the death of Jesus is sufficient for this, and his resurrection will help me know his very presence. So be this way for each one of us. Father, we're just have a time of silence to bring our troubles for you. And we wanted to say, Lord, I'm leaning on your strength. Or to bring our blessings to you and say, Lord, we're taking these as from your sacrifice, not earned or deserved. Hear our silent prayers.